Brother David Kirchman will now consider the last part of the symposium, Avoid Sowing to the Flesh, Invest in a Secure Future.
Have you ever seen one of those television shows before, where an individual or a group of individuals is dropped off into a remote location? Now, for a predetermined amount of time, they have to rely on their training, their instincts, their mental and physical stamina, and their wits, just in order to survive through that challenge. So just to continue to live on this earth, we need three essential things: food, clothing, and water, and shelter. Take away the water. Now those things are needed just to live, and those contestants, they do their utmost to try to procure them right away, as quickly as they can, because they know that that's necessary in order for them to make it through the challenge. Now, in order to sustain just our life force here on earth, we need those things. However, in order to have a happy and a secure future, something more is needed. Would you like to find out what it is with me? Please turn your Bibles to Matthew 5 and verse 3. We'll learn what it is together. It says there in Matthew 5 and 3, Happy are those conscious of their spiritual need, since the kingdom of the heavens belongs to them. Now, did you know there's a few things in this scripture, but firstly, an individual would be happy. So that would reflect in how we are. We're a happy person. Why? Because we're conscious or we're aware of our spiritual need. And note the word there, it's a spiritual need. It's not a spiritual maybe or a spiritual that would be nice. It's a spiritual need, much the same as those other three things, food, clothing, and shelter. So we're able to satisfy our spiritual need by worshiping Jehovah. And we look forward to a future lasting security, enjoying everlasting life under God's kingdom. So how then, recognizing that, can we invest in a future that is truly secure? Well, this morning what we're going to do is we're going to enlist the help of an investment broker. Now, it may not be the investment broker that immediately jumps to your mind. Maybe you have one. And an investment broker in our world, in our situation, they seek to help us to achieve wealth and prosperity for our future life, for our retirement, right? At least that's what the hope is. Now, the investment broker that we're going to employ, though, he's going to give us some totally different information than that. His name is Jesus, and we can read his investment advice to us in Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20. Note what he says. He says, Stop storing up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. Rather, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So Jesus gives us some very good counsel here, brothers and sisters. Note that he says, stop storing up those other things, those other wealthy possessions, but store up treasures in heaven. And that counsel to us is very sound advice. The reason being that acquiring wealth and prosperity and riches in this old system can do something else. It can actually choke out what we learn from God's word. So it's a deceptive security to us. It's not a true one. We can work very hard to achieve a level of financial or material security in this old system in order to have it sometimes literally taken away from us. Just like that. Robert Burns was a poet whose words seem very similar to those of wise King Solomon's. In 1786, he wrote in a poem, "The best laid schemes of mice and men often go astray." Of course, thousands of years earlier, Solomon had said, "Time and unexpected events overtake them all." They mean the same thing. So what are some of these time and unforeseen events that make our plans perhaps go astray or tangle them? Well, firstly, we're going to look at a health problem. And we know, brothers and sisters, in our congregations, when we look around us, that we're certainly seeing the effects of sin, aren't we? We see our brothers and sisters who are struggling with various ailments and diseases, some more serious than others. And oftentimes, we may hear of a prognosis that gives an individual maybe only a few weeks or months to live. Another one could be an accident. We may be involved in, maybe it's a workplace accident, or perhaps a traffic accident that takes away our mobility. Maybe it so severely disables us that we're not able to provide for our families by working anymore like we once were. Or in the most severe of cases, it could cost us our very life as well. So in these two instances alone, what are our possessions worth to us when we're thinking about those severe problems and ones that can take, as it is, our security away from us instantly? They mean very little, don't they? Another something that can affect us is an economic setback. So sometimes this could be a personal one. Maybe we have made some bad investments, or maybe we're down, we're out of work right now, perhaps, and that can cause us some stress. Or maybe it's the area that we're in, as we're seeing happen in Venezuela right now, where individuals, their dollars are so devalued there that they have to carry large bags of money with them just in order to procure a few simple needs of the day. So, what's the lesson for us, brothers and sisters? Sowing with a view to the flesh will not bring lasting security. So how can true security be achieved then? Well, we again want to remember the advice of our investment broker, the spiritual investment broker. And he told us to store up treasures in heaven. So 1 Timothy 6, verses 18 and 19, it helps to identify for us what some of these things might be. Would you like to learn of them together? 1 Timothy 6, verses 18 and 19. It says there, "Tell them to work at good, to be rich in fine works, to be generous, ready to share, safely treasuring up for themselves a fine foundation for the future, so that they may get a firm hold on the real life." So the real life that is spoken about here in Scripture, brothers and sisters, it isn't the one that we're living right now, is it? We have so many anxieties and so many problems that perplex us on a daily basis. We recognize that the real life is an everlasting life. We spoke earlier of it, one that will go on forever, whether our hope is a heavenly one or an earthly one where we'll inherit the earth. So from our study of the Scriptures, we know that a beautiful future lies ahead. We know that God's kingdom is going to bring about the changes that are necessary to eliminate the problems that confront us right now. We also know from Daniel 2 and 44 that God's kingdom will never be brought to ruin. So those conditions will be long-lasting. Now we're going to interview someone who was at one time in his life going to living a normal, peaceful life, we might say, reasonable. And yet he, along with his wife, they reevaluated their situation and they made some changes. So we're going to talk briefly with Brother Andy Stevens of the Wainwright Congregation. Now, Andy, I know you weren't originally from Wainwright, so maybe you can tell us where you're from.
We moved to Wainwright 2.5 years ago from Edmonton. We wanted to get into the full-time ministry, and we knew they had a lot of pioneers there and a big territory, so we thought we'd give that a try.
Okay, very nice. So how did that move help you then? How were you able to focus more so on spiritual goals?
Well, before the move, we tried setting some spiritual goals that we thought we could attain. For example, we took advantage of the 30-hour auxiliary pioneering option a handful of times. And even though we had a full-time work schedule, if we just took 1 or 2 days off through the month, and then, of course, made use of the weekends, we were able to have pretty good success with that. Also, we tried different forms of service. So on Saturday mornings, before the regular service arrangement, we would meet up with some pioneers, and they would take us doing bus stop approach work, which for us was really nerve-wracking. But it turned out to be exciting as well, and we look back on those early mornings with great fondness.
Okay, very nice. So you were able to reach some of your initial goals, and what other goals have you reached since that time?
Since then, Stace and I have been regular pioneers for most of the 2.5 years we've been there, and we find that we're really starting to enjoy our ministry a lot more than we used to, and we've had some nice calls and even a couple of Bible studies there. As well, I've been serving as a ministerial servant, and since it's a small congregation, I've had the privilege of helping out with a couple of assignments, and that's been a lot of fun, too.
Okay. Very nice to hear. Keep up the fine work, Brother Stevens. So we can ask ourselves, in what do I place my hope for future security? The last days of this old system are truly limited, and this makes the urgency of our work all the more important. We all want to have a fuller share in this life-saving work as possible right now. We know that it's never to be repeated. So, considering that, what do our choices of employment reveal when we honestly examine them? Are we working to meet the needs of our families, or something far more than that? Do we see maybe that we are sacrificing some spiritual time that we had set aside for now for more monetary reasons? Perhaps we're chasing work because it's a little more difficult to find right now, or even where we're at, just putting in some longer hours. Remember that this is Satan's world, and as we've learned throughout this symposium, what he offers us, be it financially, materially, or any of the other forms of entertainment and ongoing, that these things are only temporary. Our honest examination of our own personal circumstances will then reveal whether our outlook is one that is fleshly or one that is spiritual. Those who sow with a view to the Spirit, they put full faith in the promise found at Matthew 6 and verse 33, where it says, "Keep on then seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." May we all remain watchful of the dangers, brothers and sisters. Make the changes where necessary. If we see that we might be slipping towards that view of fleshly things. Brothers and sisters, a beautiful, secure future under God's kingdom awaits all who sow with a view to the Spirit. So may we all show that that's what we're investing in. We'll now look at our review question. What is sowing with a view to the flesh, and how can we avoid it? Galatians 6, verse 8. Sowing with a view to the flesh means letting oneself be led by sinful human desires. To avoid this sin, we must be balanced as to social media, choose wholesome entertainment, fight the spirit of envy, and trust in Jehovah for a secure future. So just in case you're not a stenographer, we're going to read it again. So the question was, what is sowing with a view to the flesh and how can we avoid it? Galatians 6 and verse 8. Sowing with a view to the flesh means letting oneself be led by sinful human desires. To avoid this sin, we must be balanced as to social media, choose wholesome entertainment, fight the spirit of envy, and trust in Jehovah for a secure future.
Thank you, brothers, and your participants. We can see how reasoning on Bible principles can help us to avoid the works of the flesh.